On.
Good
Okay.
evening. Good evening. Good
My fellow
evening.
Americans.
My fellow Merc. Good evening. So as you guys can see, we're having a little fun with the title tonight because, you know, you're watching us instead of watching the debate.
We
Which,
appreciate it.
you know, it's probably better for your sanity. It's
Your
probably better
mental health.
for it's definitely better for your mental health. It's probably better for pretty much, I don't know, everything in your life. I just don't know what else to or how else to put it.
Without going into great detail.
I mean, one of the things I was actually, so I was at the waterfront for a little bit today to kind of, I had to deal with some stuff. So, one of the things we ended up talking about was the fact that neither me nor Chip nor Tim Hibbard at least really want any politic talk in the store. As I said, it's election season. I'd like to keep us all sane. How about we have a no politics discussion or no politics in the store? And they were both very, very excited to say that. So, we really just don't want to talk about it. We don't like to have people fighting. Everybody like has their own, you know, opinions on stuff, and that's fine. Just try to keep it out of the store. We're about escapism and trying to keep people sane. So, yeah, just try not to come in and you know, be that kind of person. We just want to have fun. We don't want to have to get into arguments over dumb shit. So, yeah. Do you want to argue with some your cashier? Go to Giant Eagle. That's where it is.
Walmart. I would
Right?
recommend
Or
Walmart.
Walmart. Yeah, either one is fine. Placing my noise canceling battery. Because, you know. Oh, that's much better.
I tell you what, though, the boys this week.
Wow. Oh, right? Right? I just
Wow,
caught up on
emotional
that
roller
today.
coaster.
Yeah, right? I caught up on that today. Caught up on my no. Caught up on that today, and then I watched Acolyte yesterday. And that was pretty much it. Like, there really isn't a lot of new cool shit out right now.
No, not really.
None. Yeah. Also had a really good conversation with somebody today about how, people are like, oh, the MCU movies have been failures since the pandemic. And I'm like, not really. Like, the failure is the failure for people to go on to or into the theater. Like, just no
Yeah.
one's going in the theater. So their whole premise is we're ranking these by how much money was made. And it's like, okay, so if you took the total amount of ticket sales at the time of the theater of the movie,
Yeah.
like, is it the same percentage of ticket sales as total ticket sales of the time frame? Is it the same or better than when the pre-pandemic movies came out? Because I would almost venture to say that it's probably better in ticket sale percentages than it was before, because there were more people going to see other things,
Yeah.
and now you only see people going to see specific things like Maverick, Barbie, Oppenheimer. Those are pretty much the only movies that really drew people into the theater.
Yeah, that's
So,
true. And there really hasn't been anything this year, really.
No.
Like that, like nothing that at least pops into my head. I'm like, I would have put Godzilla there, the new Godzilla, but it didn't really do what they thought it was gonna do.
No, I
So,
mean, it won some awards, which is great, but
well, that's the Godzilla Zero. I'm talking about
Oh,
the Godzilla
the Godzilla
Kong.
Kong. Yeah, I still haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Is that hit streaming yet? I don't think so. I'm gonna check. Let's see what if
It
it's
hasn't hit
streaming.
streaming yet. I don't think so.
Godzilla Kong. So
It should
you
be
can
hitting
rent
streaming
it.
soon.
You can rent it on Prime for $5
Yeah.
right now. But that's the only way to watch it right now is you can rent it, which probably means we have another
Month or
maybe
two.
month. Yeah,
Yeah.
probably like mid-July, end of July, it'll probably hit for
Yeah.
one.
But that's like the only thing that comes to mind of like big movie budget, you know. So I'm putting it this, and I'm gonna make, I guess this will be my big spec for the year of movie is, I think Deadpool and Wolverine is gonna do, like, I think it's gonna do better than
Brand.
the Spider-Man Homecoming.
I don't know about that.
I think there's going to be a lot more people excited for this movie than there was the Spider-Man movie. Like, just the chatter I'm hearing, more people are interested in this because it's Hugh Jackman reprising his role. It's going to be Ryan Reynolds together. And they've been hyping it up a little bit, but not like to the point where it's saturating. Like Homecoming, they saturated the living crap out of that movie. They had Homecoming everything. This has been, we hear the updates, like, hey, here's the trailer. Here's some stuff on Twitter. Here's some stuff on Instagram, but not like on the daily or on the weekly. You know, it's been here and there just to kind of remind you, hey, by the way, Wolverine and Deadpool coming up pretty soon. Be ready for it.
Well,
So.
the other the other thing about it though is like they're still doing the same, like it takes it, but like they're doing the nostalgia thing, and like it's not that they're like this movie's gonna go one of two ways. It's either gonna be holy crap, that was a really great way to bring everything together,
Yeah.
or it's gonna be the plot is absolute garbage, but it's super funny, and we're gonna get a lot of stuff. Because Spider-Man Homecoming was kind of that same ladder. It was,
Yeah.
the plot wasn't real great, but everybody was just like, oh, check out the check out all the other Spider-Men and the old villains.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you'll have a little bit of that. There's obviously going to be some nostalgia there. I'm not going to deny that. But I think this is going to, and I think they have worked it in because they did rework some scenes for this movie. They are going to tie things more together than we think. Because we're, other than the trailers, we haven't gotten like that big giant spoiler. You know, it's little bits, little tastes. You're getting that little taste test like they give you at Baskin Robbins. You're getting a little bit of spoonful there, just enough to go, oh, that's really good. And you're not getting the whole thing. And I appreciate that because lately they give us everything in the trailers, and then you're like, well, what's left for me to see in the movie? You know, I think they're making it smart play. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Like, we're actually traveling to Ohio and we're gonna make a whole family thing with me, the wife, our stepdaughter and their partner, and we're gonna make a big family thing. That's
Remind me to talk to you after we're done off air about Ohio. Reminded me. I have a thing I'd like to see if you're interested in setting up that, or if not, we're just gonna skip it. Busy.
okay.
I'm too busy. Anyway,
Okay.
our buddy Edwin from Riser Verse is in the chat, and he mentions that the new Deadpool movie marketing pretty much feels similar to the approach of the first two. I agree. By the way, if you guys haven't seen it, Fool's Gambit, it's a book by those guys. You can pick it up at a couple of our stores because we backed Kickstarter. They were also at our convention. Great bunch of creators, local guys. They're super, super personable. A lot of fun to talk to and hang out with. So make sure you go check those guys out. Anyway, let's. I'd like to thank everybody who came to the warehouse sale. I was not able to make it, but from what I understand, no one killed Todd, so we're good. this weekend, though, is two big things all at the same time because we're crazy and we like to put things on top of each other. But it's like the last sale that we really have until. So, Saturday, just Saturday, in all locations, is our customer appreciation sale. Make sure you come and check it out. Make sure you go to your local store because it's going to be 20% off almost everything in the store. It's going to be 25% off regular back issues, which means books that are 20 under $25 and are stickered. And then all of our dollar books are half price for the one day only. So go check those out. There will be some exclusions. It's mostly going to be trading card games that are sealed. So, like packs of Pokemon will not be on discount, but singles will. Like you can buy a single, unless you do the 50-50 on the commons, uncommons, or 50-50 on regular back issues, in which case you get 50%. Don't get anything. And if you want to get, and I'll be in Cranberry, by the way, for most of the day. So if you want to come and shop the smallest store possible, but I will give you a free high five. But I'll be there till 4, and then I have a meeting I have to go to at 5 o'clock on the other side of the city. So I'm hoping I make it in time. The other thing is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Elwood, the old store, which is down the street. It's like, if you're looking at the current store, it's like four storefronts down on the right. We are putting out some, it's our $3. So the $3 socks are socks we normally take to conventions that are $3. This is kind of our blowout form. So come and check that out. It's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 10 to 5, all weekend. I will be there Friday. I will be there Sunday. I will not be there Saturday because I'll be cramped. You have to hang out. So come and check it out. It's a good time. And then you can go shop Elwood on Saturday. If you come up Saturday for it, you can come up there, check out the $3 stock. Then you can go down to the main store. Where everything will be on sale. They have a giant dollar book selection. The $3 selection will not be on sale on them. It is the only, it is a big exclusion. That whole building is off limits for the sale. Bring cash. If you're going to shop the old store, it's a lot easier because we don't have any internet in there, so we can't really run cards. So, but I'll do what I can if I have to. But anyway. Okay, I think we're good on that. I think we can just talk comics now, and then we kind of already talked boys a little bit.
Well, just a
But
little,
unless you
not
want
enough
to
for
talk,
fun.
okay, listen. All right, we're going to talk about it just a little bit more because we're going to flip it today. Not really spoilers, But so my favorite moment of that whole episode, okay, was the fact that they went to that farm and they all the animals are like jacked up on B, and like so they're like oh, like they find like a dead guy, he's gonna like hold his chest, they're like, what the fuck is that? And then all of a sudden a chicken flies through a guy, busts through his chest, and they're like, are these chickens up on B? What the hell? And so they like start shooting all the chickens to kill them, and then
The
all of a
bull.
sudden they go outside and they find a cow. The cow is, or the bull is hopped up on B, and they're like, oh shit. And then all of a sudden the bull gets picked up and it's annihilated in the air and ripped apart by fucking sheep that are all on B. So then they run into a barn and the sheep are trying to get in the barn. They find out that there's a the one of the guys in there has the serum to blow up, like to kill Dupes on B, which is actually from the Generation Z show. Like that was part of that whole thing. And actually some of the guys from Generation Z show up on the show too, in a different scenario. But they basically like pump the dead body filled with that out and they throw it out outside and the sheep attack it. And eventually the sheep break into the barn and then they start just dying. And it's just hilarious. Like these like screaming demon sheep, basically.
There's a horror movie called Black Sheep that used to be the most disturbing horror movie I've ever seen to this date. Like, it is some messed up stuff. And for those who have seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This was almost as bad. These sheep are almost as bad.
Oh my God.
But
Like, it was so
yeah.
funny. So this is something though that I was talking to somebody else about the season, and I said, I think it's interesting that this season is like the least sexual season we've had of the boys, like
Yeah.
since it began. It's still stupid gratuitous violence, but it's like way less sex, right? And it's
Yeah.
weird. Also, if you guys don't follow Deep Thoughts with the Deep on Twitter, you should. Because at one point, like the Deep gets killed by Homelander, and it's just like the justice or something with like Homelander, and then it's then there's another one with Black Noir where it's like just ellipsis Black Noir. So, but it's they're always. Really funny. It's either that it's Deep Thoughts with Deep, or it might just be the boys, like following the boys.
But
It's just fun.
I'd like to make the comment that people are criticizing this season, and I think it's more on having to do with a, it's
Oh my
not.
God! Oh my God! They have one of the sheep on their Twitter.
Oh God.
Go ahead. See you on Monday.
But it's more the whole criticizing of, we don't like being made fun of, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's not sticking to the comic. And I'm like, no, if they stuck to the comic, people would be like, the comics are way more disturbing than the show. The show is a fraction of some of the stuff that they show in the comics. But that is also the difference between the creative book medium as compared to what we can show on TV. So,
Right.
but I
Right,
have to
right,
say,
right, right.
this episode happens to be so far the best episode of the season on me.
Right. All right. Hold on. We're gonna do. I just brought it up on the screen. Okay. So we can book a date, but we can't date a book. These
Yeah.
Well, yeah. If we know what this object, why did you say we have a PS5? Steve thought it would be.
There's blank thoughts with noir. That's a good one. I mean, legit deep thought right there, right? When a pregnant woman swims, she becomes a human submarine. So, well, we're gonna skip that one.
Too late. Oh,
here we go. If you die during an orgasm, you're coming and going at the same time.
What the hell?
If you shit in church, is that holy shit?
Oh.
Are national anthems just country music? If people become vegan to save animals, then why are they eating their food? If everyone is unique, doesn't that make us all the same? Yeah, there you go. This is a good one. What if you're actually really attractive and girls just think you're out of their league? If violence is the answer, then what is the question? Or is that the question? A human came out of another human because a human came in another human.
Oh, Jesus.
When you learn something about your brain, doesn't your brain learn something about itself? That's actually a pretty good question.
Wow.
If a fly can't fly anymore, does it become a walk? If America is a free country, then why can't I buy it?
Oh.
Have a horribly dark past? Then kill the past. Patriotic thoughts of Homelander.
Jesus.
Oh, man. The current state of our country, kill a politician. Patriotic thoughts to Homelander. Does the meaning sleeping with the fishes really mean nothing to see here? Keep scrolling.
That was better than pedophile.
Afraid of pedophiles?
Why?
If you poop in an elevator, you take your shit to another level.
Oh
man. We'll do one more. Isn't it weird we all have a little voice in our heads, like the one that you're using to read this? Yeah.
Please.
I love these. You know what? We may do like a weekly reading of these.
A new segment added to the podcast.
Just because they're like the most ridiculous thing ever. And like, and
it's
like,
our own version of SNL was a Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy.
Right?
Right? It's the comic version of that.
Like, and I mean, we could even like, I mean, because we've done like the like, all right, let's read the terrible the 1-star reviews on things and yeah, talk about good. How people are idiots, you know.
Yeah.
So we're gonna leave it at that for those. And now we're gonna talk about comics because okay. we need
and
to
then
do
we'll
that.
We'll sandwich it with some Acolyte.
An Acolyte sandwich?
Yep.
A Sacolyte. Wait.
Yep.
No, that's not right.
Yeah.
No, I can't do it. I can't figure it out. Okay, here we go. Oh, look, I'm first this week. Hey-oh. So, this book is Zatanna Bringing Down the House, number one. The first thing I'm going to say is, I love the art in this by Javier Rodriguez. It's kind of kiddish. This book, like at first, it's like I was like,
I like the cover, it looks very Arthur right? Adams.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know,
I don't think he did.
No, it was Javier Rodriguez, same guy,
okay,
yeah,
but it looks very Arthur Adams Zatanna style.
It doesn't like have that pop of realism, but yeah, I agree,
yeah.
So when I started reading the book, at first, I was like, is this for kids? And then I see her wake up in just boxers in a chunk where she walks around her apartment and like pulls up like is like trying to figure out which rabbit is going to be her magic rabbit for the show, and I'm like, oh, never mind, that's not for kids. So it's actually kind of cool. Like, so Zatanna is at this point, it starts off with like a little bit of a backstory where she tries to do a trick where she has the three cups and the balls go missing, and they're all supposed to be in the same cup at the end, and she can't get it right, and her like friends are giving her shit for it. And then it cuts to now, where she has like a residency in Vegas, and she does a free show for people who go to like some water park or something. And this girl is sitting in the audience, and she's like, "Why has she been here like 8 times in a row? This is crazy." So she, you know, does her shtick and everything. Bye, Edwin. Bye, buddy. He had to go to work. So Zatanna is doing her shtick, and then at one point she's like, "All right, I'm just gonna talk to this girl in the audience and try to get her as like audience participation." And the girl's kind of giving her shit back, and she kind of creates a monster out of the curtains and stuff, and she's like, "I know who you are, Zatanna. Whatever you're up to, you're up to something with him." And she's like, what are you talking about? Who's him?" And then it shows that at one point she accidentally sends all like makes all those kids that were making fun of her disappear when she was a kid. And she's like, "Your dad, Zatara, I know that you killed him." And she's like, "My father, what?" And that's kind of where the first issue ends. The art throughout the book is really, really good. It's very tight. Like I said, though, it's kind of got like a kiddie, almost like a young reader vibe to it. Is it rated? It's rated 17 and up, though. So it's kind of horror, kind of magic, kind of, but it has that like young reader look to it, which is what I think I picked up the most on it that I liked a lot. The art was just really, really good. So I love Zatanna. I always have. She's been one of my favorite characters for a long time. I am rating this book as do you remember when they did the mystery Pop-Tarts? Like, you didn't know what Pop-Tart flavor you were gonna get?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it's mystery Pop-Tart because it's kind of like magic. Mystery Pop-Tart and
They
like a
didn't
gl
taste very good, though.
well, it depended on which flavor you got, because none of them were like, you didn't know what you got until you opened the bag.
Yeah.
And even in the same box, they had different ones, different packs in there.
Yeah.
So I'm giving it mystery Pop-Tart, a half grapefruit, even though I hate grapefruit. But it was very it for some reason I feel like that needs to be part of this. And then a like a glass of like a mimosa, like, you know, because it's Vegas, baby. It's Vegas.
Yeah, it's
So
true. You could drink with open container on the street. It's all
right.
good. Yep.
But I really liked it. Like, I don't know if you remember like the old Smallville show, like when Zatanna would show up on that. I really loved the girl that played Zatanna on there. She went on to becoming Medusa on the Inhuman show. But she was whoever that girl was, I can't remember her name. She was spot on Zatanna, like spot on. So, but yeah, anyway, it was a fun read. Check it out.
All right, we got Helverine, and this is number two. Totally missed when number one came out. I think this came out during the weekend of the con, I think. So again, this is one of those oops. But they did a little recap in this. Turns out Helverine is Daken put together after the Sabretooth War Wolverine, the demon that from Helverine, the first Helverine, is now a demon for justice. So it did its Ghost Rider thing. And what it did was put Daken back together piece by piece.
But
So
put
he's
his
all
claws
stitched.
back wrong.
Oh, no. Yeah,
Yeah, because
they're
he
fine.
no, because he has two on top and one out of the like out of this part of your arm. So that's why I was like, that can't be Daken.
It's
Like,
Daken.
wow.
It is Daken. But we open with Washington. It's in Washington, D.C. Wolverine and a General Herms are in a place called the Pentacle. It's in the Pentagon, and it's the
Okay.
house of Project Hellfire. This is where the
Okay.
new Project Hellfire is. They talk to a Dr. Spivey, who's looking at a couple corpses, and these demon-esque looking people apparently attack the Pentagon. This is the first, this is what happened in the first issue, apparently, is they attack the Pentagon. And they're examining the bodies of these things because Wolverine came and killed them. And they also are trying to track down Daken. They call these I guess corpses the destroyers. They're basically soldiers that they revived using the Hellfire Project. And Wolverine's like, well, I need to find Daken. I need to figure we need to take care of this, you know, because they're, you know, these destroyers are dangerous for everybody, the public in general. So he goes off on his own. Herms and Spivey basically like are like, well, we're gonna track them. They have a hellhound tracking Wolverine. They had planned on killing Wolverine as well, because you know it's the government, they're gonna do this. Surprise, surprise. We meet this Lieutenant Colonel Townsend. He's wheelchair, he's dealing with PTSD as well, and he thinks about his comrades in arms that he lost. But then he sees them on TV, like during this the Pentagon attack, and he sees that the destroyers are his fellow comrades. So you know, there's an aspect there. We see Daken hiding in a cabin in Chesapeake Bay, trying to figure out who he is because his memory is all scrambled. Remember, he's been dead, so he's not quite, you know, caught up on what's going on in his own mind. But the demon takes over. That ends up killing a terrorist in a bus. And just goes about his business. He's doing all these random acts of vengeance, because that's what ghost riders do, is vengeance. We see a widow crying over her dead husband, who happens to be a soldier. We find out he is one of the demons. And Logan, of course, rescues the widow and her child, because you know these destroyers are basically, you know, on fire and basically zombies, you know. But there are starting to recall that the government is the one who turned them into this. And then we see what is it? Daken is slowly starting to recall who he is. It's really good. This is very action-packed. It is like nonstop, constant, you know, Wolverine getting involved, Daken getting involved. These destroyers seem to have really awesome powers. They seem very similar to the Helverine. Pardon my eyes, guys. I have allergies and they are killing me today. I'm gonna give this, give me like an Eggs Benedict, something a little bit different, because I feel like that's where this is going. I'm glad they brought Dakin back. I didn't want him just to be dead and not, you know. I am a Dakin fan. Like, I've been a fan since they brought him into the Wolverine lore to begin with. But give me some Eggs Benedict, maybe some we'll stick with the Canadian bacon. Just gonna stick with that because it is Wolverine involved. We'll stick with juice for right now because I don't know exactly what drink would go with this, but you can't go wrong with OJ. So I really enjoy this. I want to see where this is going. So,
I just happened to see the picture of when Sabretooth kills Dakin and then put spells out happy birthday with his
yeah.
body parts. I was like, oh my God. I was like, that
Yeah,
was pretty good. So
definitely one of those.
okay. I mean, it sounds pretty cool. I just wish they would have, like, I don't know why he has the three claws on the top. Like, that's bothering me, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway. Oh, shit. I thought it was the other book. My bad. All right. My next book is Blood Squad 7 by Joe Casey. So this book is awesome. Like, if you loved 90s Image, this book is for you. Like it is like very much like in the style of Local Man. How like we have like the weird team that Local Man's on. This book is a lot like that. It's like a it flashes back to 990 the 1990s when there was an old team called Blood Squad 7, and then they redo them for now. And they're working for the government. So it starts out with one of the guys fighting Savage Dragon and getting his ass kicked by Savage Dragon. And then at the end, Savage Dragon's like, "What the fuck, man? Like, what are you doing?" And he's like, "Oh, I was just seeing if you would be able to, like, if you were tough enough to be on our team." He's like, "You did thousands of dollars of damage to see if I would be on your stupid government team." And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, you're going to jail." And he pulls out his badge and arrests him, and then they cover his bail and stuff. So then the new Ripcord, who at the very last page of the for other issue was found in a sex den with a bunch of dead people, is trying to tell his boss they were all aliens, and it wasn't what it looked like. And she's like, "Yeah, whatever. Like, we'll see." You get a little more into Night Striker, who is kind of like a almost like a Exo Manowar Iron Man type style outfit. That's you see her there on the cover. With Infinity, who that's the new Infinity, who's the daughter of the original Infinity, who's the leader of the team. And then they go and they talk about they test well they test Ripcord about to see if he's part alien or not. It turns out he is not. And this is a very kind of setup issue, like where they're trying to find things. And Night Striker goes to this what could be safe house, I guess, and they activate something and they're like they ask for a list and it just says fuck you real big on the screen when it tries to bring it up, and it's a trap and the building blows up and they almost die. That's what's going on in the cover there. And then actual aliens are talking to the original Infinity about like what the hell's going on? Is there an invasion coming? And he's like, no. Then we see Ripcord pick up a hooker and they're fucking, and while they're fucking, the doctor calls Infinity and is like, he's not alien at all, and she's like, shit. And he kills the hooker. So the best part about, or one of the best parts about this book is the letters. All the letters this week are from, like, are just reactions from issue one from, like, Robert Kirkman, Jeff Johns, Tim Seeley, like guys like that. It's real crazy. But this book, like I said, has been very good. It's almost like a Cyberforce? No, like a Wildcats meets the Boys is kind of how I'm pitching this book to people. Because it's definitely a lot more adult than a regular superhero book, but it's definitely also got that superhero team vibe going on. So it's very Boys-esque, as well as Wildcats-esque. So if you like 90s stuff, it's a great book for people. Go check it out. I'm going to give this, oh man, this gets Moons Over Miami from Denny's, because it's a very, like, I don't know why, but I remember, like, eating that a lot at breakfast in the 90s growing up. Whenever I go to Denny's, that's all I would get was Moons Over Miami. So that's my thing. But it's a really good book. It's a lot of fun. Your
Right.
turn.
Darth Maul, Black, White, and Red, number 3. This only has one story in it. It's really weird. Usually the Black, White, and Red had three stories. It's not the case with this book. Like the first one was not three stories, so this one isn't either. So very unusual. But it's still a good story. We see Darth Maul training against droids as he gets an assignment from Darth Sidious to kill a draw was a Draveren named Coir Sion. He travels to the planet where this Coir Sion is. Thing I think the planet's called Dwat. I'm writing, my eyes are watering so bad I can't even read my own writing. I want to say Davik. And he talks about getting a pardon and going legit because apparently he is a criminal, but once he gets this pardon, he's talking about going legit, and he's going to leave whatever he has here at the planet to the gang. But he gets a word that there's a ship that's landing in their vicinity. He wants to know who it is, and then after they find out who it is, kill him. Darth Maul, of course, gets off the ship. His minions or the gang comes in, some of the gang anyway. They welcome him and try to kill him. It goes as expected. Darth Maul kicks all their butts, chops the one Greedo's head. The whatever the species Greedo was. I'm not sure what his species name is, but Greedo is you get he chops his head off, puts it in a bag, and he heads to the hangout where Kor is like shocked as this head is thrown at him. Then the lights go out, half of his gang run. And you just see The lightsaber slice them up, so they die first. The other half of the gang are trying to fight. He kills them. And then Darth Maul asks why his master wants to kill him. And basically, Kor says he saw Darth Sidious as the senator doing some shady stuff in some dark areas of Coruscant. So he's covering his butt using Darth Maul for the to keep political power, basically. And in the end, he kills him. And then at the end of the book, Darth Sidious is like, "Well, why did you hesitate?" And Darth is basically, "I just wanted to know what was going on." And Darth Sidious is like, "You don't need to know what's going on. You just need to do what you're told." And he throws him another disc and go, "Here's your next assignment." And that's the way the book ends. It's really good. You know, it's definitely Darth Maul doing his Darth Maul thing, but you can also tell that he's starting to question his master, which is, which is, it happens. We see it with every Sith that they question their master eventually. I'm just gonna give this some eggs with some cheese, couple sausage links, some coffee since it's black, white, and red, since we'll give them black coffee for a drink. It's typical, if you like good artwork of Darth Maul kicking butt, you'll really like this. There's not a lot of read into it other than seeing how corrupt Darth Sidious was as a senator.
Well, we all know he was pretty bad, so.
This kind of adds to like what he did, because you never really got to see like how dirty he was as a senator. So I guess this gives you a little peek in, because again, this is before episode one. So
Right. Okay. What did you rate this? I'm sorry, I missed it.
eggs with some cheese sprinkled on top. Sausage links, like nothing spectacular, but it was good enough. Like, it's better than a bowl of oatmeal, but it's not as good for.
So what you're saying is like regular bacon, not thick and or maple smoked bacon.
No,
Okay.
definitely like regular.
Okay.
Like I said, it if it was more and more intriguing story, like the artwork was spectacular in this, especially with the only the use of three colors. But
Right.
it works, so
Okay. All right. My last book is Redcoat 3 from Ghost Machine, Geoff Johns, Brian Hitch. This book is so good. Like, I just can't not say how good this book is. It starts out with the retelling of the George Washington and his axe, and his hatchet cutting down Dad's cherry tree. Which they talk about how he can't tell a lie, whatever. So this hatchet that has killed or that has hurt Simon Pure, like is the hatchet that George Washington used to cut down that cherry tree. But you find out that the axe wasn't actually or he didn't actually tell his dad that he cut down the cherry tree. He lied and told him that his neighbor, who Washington's dad didn't actually like, was the one who did it. So Washington's dad kills the neighbor and the neighbor's wife with the hatchet.
Wow.
And that's why they call
Okay.
the hatchet of lies, right? So Benedict Arnold then gets kind of taken away to like walk his lady friend home. Young Einstein finds a hidden compartment in Benedict Arnold's house. You then find out that he has been collecting like just weird, crazy, mystical shit, including a book of spells. Like the lodge is what they're calling these guys right now. They're definitely like a take on Freemasonry, but there's no real basis in it at all. They find them. They're trying to kill Mr. Purer. They like Einstein grabs these seeds from a bag and just whip them at them, and they end up growing these giant apple trees because they're Johnny Appleseed trees seeds. So you find out they were mystically enchanted, and that's why they start growing everywhere. They run, they get into a carriage. The guys start following them and shooting guns at them from another carriage. They finally get a spell off, and it blows up the carriage that they're on, and it ends up with Simon Pure on a table with the lodge guys holding him down. It's like you're gonna help us burn America to the ground. They're almost like the anti Freemasons, to be honest. It's just very interesting. But this book, like, it's so crazy. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of action. It's a little bit of history twist, which is I love history twists. Whether it be like actual history or history twisted books. Like Superman Red. I always loved that book because it was like the whole like what if Superman would have crashed in Russia. Things like that. I really like that kind of like twisted history thing. And like Man in the High Castle, like stuff like that. So I'm giving this, oh man, I'm giving this like a skillet, a hot skillet with steak chunks, peppers, onions, scrambled egg, green peppers, tomatoes, cheese on top, hot sauce, all on that fiery skillet, with a with a bottle of beer. That's the breakfast of this guy right now. And I've actually had that for breakfast. It's pretty good. But this book is just so good. The art's fantastic. The writing is super solid. The story's intriguing. I think when this hits as a graphic novel, this book is going to sell a ton. So make sure you guys go check it out. It's on sale right now.
All right. We're on a black and white kick here this week. Now, this was supposed to come out last week, but it got postponed. It came out this week. So, this is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Black, White, and Green, number two. And I have to say, I love the art style of every single story in here. There are three stories in this one. Yes, three stories. It's hard to keep track sometimes, but there are three stories in this one this time. Actually, the only thing I don't like is this cover, but it is a personal thing of this doesn't look quite right. But the interior looks excellent. The story number one here, we are seeing Casey Jones make an appearance in this series, taking out like a punk kid who is stealing snakes out of a pet shop. The punk talks, and Casey finds out this gang wants to steal a bunch of snakes. Because He asks where the hangout is. The kid tells him. Then he finds the compound where the gang's hanging out, and there's a big tank of mutagen. And he falls through the ceiling and gets beat up by the gang. Just as the gang come, it looks like they're gonna kill Casey. Here comes Mikey. Mikey comes to the rescue. And him and Casey beat up the gang, except the boss, whose name's Bobby Viper, shocking. And he jumps into the mutagen with a snake who bites him. And he mutates into a snake man. And he says he's gonna eat them or whatever. But he totally forgot about the snake. And it came out, and it's this giant, huge snake thing, like giant snake monster, and dives down and takes Bobby Viper with him. And you don't see them again. They're lost in the sewer somewhere. And then you see Mikey and Casey returning the snakes back to the pet store. So it was a really kind of. There was little stuff in between, but it was a nice, neat little story for story one. Sorry, guys, you didn't need to hear that, but allergies.
It's all right. We heard it when you walked away too. I was like, "What the hell was that?" And I was like, "Oh, nose
sorry.
blowing. It's all good."
Yeah. The second story is a little bit more silly. It's a very silly story where again Mikey is dressed up as a detective, and even Raph is like, hey, is that my coat? Because it's obviously the trench coat that he wore from the movie. So that was a shout out to the movie there. Basically the situation was Mikey ordered a pizza and it disappeared. So he was trying to find out in his own special Mikey way, who ate the pizza. And goes through all these weird scenarios, like what ifs of, was it Baxter Stockman tried to steal the pizza from the delivery guy and weird stuff like this. And it turns out it was Splinter's birthday. And he thought the pizza was just for him, so he ate the whole pizza himself. So, like I said, it was silly as hell, but it was fun. It was pretty good. Story number three. Yeah. No, there's four stories. My bad. Story three is we see this, I guess, this gang, I should say mobsters with a weird looking green statue. And it looks like the statue has hypnotic powers. And of course, the turtles see this and intercept it. They find out it is an ancient relic from China. And Master Splinter's like, that's a dangerous artifact. We better get it back to the sewer. And as he said this, of course, here comes Shredder and the Foot, and they want this. Well, a battle ensues, and the statue ends up in the hands of April, who ends up using it against the Foot, making them dance with each other and in the streets, like this weird dance choreography scene, isn't it? And he's like,
Okay.
now walk away. And you just see them walking away, and then they take the statue and lock it up. So it's again, this one was like, okay, that was a little weird, but the fourth story is the one that kind of took the cake. Is April is doing a story about a mutated pizza monster named Pizza Face, which I kind of wondered if they got the rights from Mel Brooks about using that name, because isn't that kind of Spaceballs? Or
Yep.
no,
There's
Pizza the
Pizza the
Hut.
Hut.
Okay. But it basically it looks like it's Pizza the Hut. Like the design is like pretty damn close.
That's
But
hilarious.
basically he's attacking Pizza Face is attacking people who order pizza in New York. And I'm like, okay, let's see where this is going. And of course the turtles battle him, but he gets away because he's kind of like Clayface. You can't really destroy him so much. Like they punch him and he just kind of pops and disappears. But you know, they're like, well, we know how to maybe trap him, but we need April's help. So they call April, and then she does like an urgent report, and she want, and this is apparently, again, this is Mikey's idea. Have everybody in New York order pizza at the same time. Like every citizen in New York ordering pizza at the same time. And what this ends up doing is actually it makes him get humongous. He's like the size of Godzilla. It looks like he's going to destroy New York, but he's like, oh no, I'm getting too big. And he ends up just exploding on his own because he's too big. He can't control himself. And that's the way this story ends. It is crazy. This book was crazy. It was funny. Like I said, the art was excellent. Like the interior art was excellent. If you guys aren't reading this, and you're a Ninja Turtle fan, definitely get this. This is that what the It's very Saturday morning. It does have some serious points to it, but you're definitely getting a little bit of everything with this. And the interior, like the art design, even though they're using green, white, and black, is really, really creative and good. I'm gonna give this. I used breakfast pizza last week. I don't want to do it again this time. Can we do
Fair.
like we do green eggs and ham pizza?
Oh, I knew that was coming.
How about that? There we go. A
Terrible.
little bit of Dr.
All
Seuss in with
right,
the turtles.
fine.
With let's see, Ecto Cooler for
There you
the
go.
breakfast drink. How about that? There we
So
go.
I'm looking at, I was like, it's like, man, I remember Pizza Face, but he didn't look like that. So this is what he looks like now, where he looks like Pizza the Hut. I remember him when he looked like this, like he was like a mad pirate with like a pizza cutter leg. Like that's how I remember him. And I'm just like, what the hell? And I'm
I
like,
like the
that's awesome.
design better of him looking like a blob of pizza
I
than
do.
like
He looks like a mini Jabba the Hutt. Like you're right. He does kind of look like Pizza the Hutt. I just thought it was pretty funny. I was like, what the fuck? Here's some weird news. And I don't know what happened, but I just wanna state it. So Legendary Comic Con, which is supposed to be the 13th, 14th into July, today had to cancel. So I don't know what happened, but we wish that their team well. That sucks. That was probably not something that had to be taken lightly to do that. But that totally blows goats. And to all the people who are annoyed or commenting on it about how it was, how shitty that is, like, understand that they definitely did. There's no way that anyone who runs a show would make that kind of judgment call lightly. And it does, while it does suck for people, there are other shows those weekends too. I'm sure you can find something to fill your void. But I get it. I was gonna go and try to hang out with my ship that weekend, but then I ended up having being busy with other things. And because I was like, oh, John Wesley's ship's gonna be there, cool. Well, sorry, next time. But yeah, so to all the guys at Legendary Con, you know, we hope everything goes or gets better for you guys. That does suck, like big time. So, all right, now we can talk Acolyte for a few minutes, and then we'll get out of here because I think the debate started, and I would like to watch at least some of it, as I want to hear how crazy this gets. So first off, called the bad guy last week. Called
Yeah,
it.
he did. I thought it
Secondly,
was too obvious, and I'm like, it should be him.
no.
Although I have to say, he looks jacked as hell. Like,
Yeah.
I like all the Sith that, like, other than what, Darth Maul, all
Yeah.
the other Sith are flabby or they're skinny as shit.
Well, they're
He
not
is,
flabby. It's just they're not cut. Like, they're in shape, but they're not
you're
cut.
seeing his arm, the veins in your arm. And for anybody that works out, that's a lot of work. That's a
Well,
lot of
I
work.
actually think he kind of looks like he's like a heroin addict gone mad. But that's me. But the amount of Jedi that die in this episode blew my mind. I was like, holy shit, look at all these dead guys. And then I like the twin switcheroo.
I kind of called that happening too. I was like, wow, that's like
Well, I didn't
really.
call it happening until it was about to happen. I'm like, oh, she's gonna switch her clothes. And then it's like, okay.
Especially after she cut her hair with the lightsaber. I'm like, really? Okay.
So it's like I said, it's been, I like this show. It's definitely different, which is what I like about it the most. But I don't necessarily love the show. I mean, I'll be honest, the only Star Wars show that I liked or that I loved as a Disney Plus show was Obi-Wan. That was the only one that I loved. Everything and the season two of Mandalorian, I loved that. That was pretty much it. Everything else, meh, it's okay. But I'm not complaining. Like I'm not a man baby. I am
You're
just
not doxing people.
right. I'm just saying, like, hey, you know, it may not be for you, and but a lot of people are liking it, and we're getting new content, and that's what the biggest thing for me is we get new content. Like, you know, that's a huge thing because, like, when we were younger, what else did we get? The Ewok cartoon, the droid cartoon,
The Star Wars Christmas special.
the Star Wars Christmas special, and then we got the prequels.
Sad panda.
You know, and everybody, and it was funny because like I had dinner with Sora and Brett the other night, and which by the way, she just posted a picture of me playing guitar on her porch. I said, or we were talking about how everybody hated the prequels when they came out, and now they're like actually revered as like pretty good. And I said, it's sad. I was like, but they're not great movies.
No.
Like they're very, I mean, they're very political. They're very like boring. There's not a lot of action. The second movie had a lot of action, though the other two did not. Which is probably why the second one's my favorite one. Because the third
Three
one,
had some action.
yeah, but the three was like, you know how it's gonna end, right? It's like, okay, this is gonna end with him and Obi-Wan having to fight,
Yeah,
probably
but
on
you never got to
Mustafar.
see them battle each other the first time, which is,
Right,
that was
which
an
was
epic
good.
battle.
I'm not saying that that doesn't have merit, and it does. I'm just saying that you knew how it was gonna end, right? And it ended exactly the way I thought it was going to. But I thought the second one was a little bit crazier because and that's the one that made you go, okay, are the Jedi actually the good guys, and is the Empire actually bad? And because at that point, the Jedi are really kind of the bad guys when it comes to how the universe is run, because they've gotten so powerful that they, whether or not they intentionally do or not, influence the Senate, and the Senate then gets the clone army because they know that they're going to need it against the Jedi at some point. And it's like, huh, that's a very interesting way to pivot that point. And then by the end of the third movie, you're like, oh yeah, never mind. They're still the bad guys. We're good. So, but it was interesting to see the birth of that whole thing, like how that whole thing happened. But a lot of people hated it, and I like it was okay though. Like, and even with the
They were
sequels,
mid. They were mid if you're, you know, they weren't. But then again, you could say Star Wars, the original trilogy came at a time where sci-fi like that never existed. It was pioneering. And whenever you have something like that, it is difficult to top something like that. I mean, it really has to be utterly brilliant to top. And they did with like The Empire Strikes Back, I think is actually better than the first. And I think a lot of people usually agree with me is like The Empire is probably the best Star Wars movie. Give or take. It's
I especially agree if we're talking about the special edition version, because the cleanup and the additional things they added to that made that movie like it. Because I used to say Return of the Jedi was my favorite, but the way that the special edition cleaned up Empire and added some things to it to make that story move better and look better, I think it finally surpassed it for me, and Empire is not my favorite.
Well, I'm not saying Empire is my favorite. I'm just saying over like
Well,
story-wise and everything,
like,
it's superior.
so the middle part of the hero's journey is usually everybody's favorite anyway, because that's the one where it's like, what are they gonna choose? How are they gonna go? What path is gonna happen here? Like, holy shit, something crazy happens that makes them really think about themselves. Like that, and that's the point. And that movie did that. That movie drove that point home. Attack of the Clones did the same because it made you question who were really the good guys, who were the bad guys. Last Jedi did the same thing, not only because it did something different that Star Wars didn't do before, like it did a lot of new things, but it was that whole movie was about choices. It was 100% about how your choices will affect your future, and I think that's why I enjoyed that of the sequels too. I also think it was just slightly better than either the Abrams ones, like the first, because Force Awakens was good, but it wasn't like, but it very much so felt like New Hope retold to me. And then
And I
was
think
it
that's what they were going for as far as
right?
the vibe
And
goes.
then what was the last one called? The
La Rise of
Rise
Skywalker
of
or something?
Skywalker. Yeah, Rise of Skywalker. It had really good moments, but the overall story was kind of clunky, and it felt very J.J. Abrams took all the fan theories, put them in a blender, and then spit out a script, because
And
that's
he had
kind
to
of what he
fix
does.
what that the second movie did to itself.
Yeah, but it didn't do any, that's the thing. It didn't change the trajectory of the storyline, except that he had a different vision of what Rian Johnson did, and Rian Johnson said, cool, I like where your story's going, here's where I'm going to take it. And then instead of taking it somewhere else, he went, oh, we're gonna fan theory back some of this stuff and back away some of these things. And I'm just like, yeah, but you did a whole lot of cool development in that story that now you're just going, eh, whatever. And it's like, okay, but it was good. Like, it was very good. So anyway, I digress. We're running
Got off
over.
topic.
Okay, we're done. So next week, because it's 4th of July, we are most likely going to do probably a morning show or an early afternoon show, because both Justin and I will probably be off. So make sure you you check that out. You follow us on socials, we'll post the exact time. Or just, click like and just subscribe, and you'll get a little thing that says, "Hey, we went live." And then you're only going to be a few minutes behind when you get that email. So come check it out. Come to the sales this weekend. If you happen to catch me again, free high fives all weekend for me. And that's about it. Oh, hi, Marshall. Say hi, buddy. Over here. Say hi. Say hi. Okay. Good boy. Apparently it's time for dad Marshall time. So I'm gonna get going. It's great talking to everybody. We'll see everybody later. If you can't buy your comic or you go out and support local shops, you can't buy them with us, that's okay. But if you can, that'd be really cool of you. All right, we will talk to everybody next week. Have a good 4th of July weekend, because this is technically the weekend that will be considered.
Yeah,
And we will see
sure.
everybody next week.